Have you ever been around real fans? I mean, like real hardcore fans of something? Today, we're going to talk about game day. We're going to talk about fans. Have you ever been around real fans? I mean, like real hardcore fans of something? You guys ever watch Game Day on Saturday mornings? I love that show. That show cracks me up. I have breakfast every Saturday with Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit. You know, we love to watch it. They have great stories on there. It's crazy fans on there. I saw a guy pour a whole, you know, gallon jug of mayonnaise on him. I'm not sure what that was promoting, but another guy goes head first into mud. You know, they show all these crazy fans. And some of the signs, I love watching the people in the background with the signs. You ever watch any of those? Like, I pulled up game day signs, and some of them I can't read here. But it says, my girlfriend entered the transfer portal. Lee Corso is my spirit animal. There's another one. Where is it? Joe Burrow eats microwave bacon. I mean, it says, win or lose, at least we don't have to live in Alabama. I mean, they can be relentless, can't they? Fans can be relentless. Sometimes we're fans too, right? What do you got on there? Yard bird on the front? KU. So we got KU fans in here, right? It's okay. Raise your hands. I'm not going to embarrass you. They have a football team. They beat Texas yesterday. That's good. That's good. K-State fans. Any K-State fans in here? I'm a K-State fan. All right. How about Kansas City Chiefs? Chiefs, huh? Okay. How about Denver Broncos? Yeah. Look at it. But Trenton, Madison. We're going to have a little fun today. I can tell already. We cheer for games all the time. We stand up and we cheer and we raise our hands and we have a great time at ball games, right? Or wrestling or whatever it is. We're fans of a lot of sports, but sometimes we need to have a game day as followers of Christ every day. Be a part of this service, part of this game day every week, 52 weeks a year. I don't know about you, but I love to look at all the fans in the stands. Sometimes I catch myself watching fans. Like if I'm at a game, it's hard to concentrate on the game because I'm watching people and how weird they are or what they say or what they're wearing sometimes. It's hard to do that. I get caught up in watching fans. Sometimes in here, I look out across the congregation and I'm looking out and some of you are paying attention. That's good. Some of you are about to go to sleep. Well, we'll wake you up. We'll keep you going. Some of you are like, what is this guy really talking about? Fans are fun, but sometimes we need to take some cues from those fans about how we need to follow Christ as a true fan. We love to be fans. There really are all kinds of different kinds of fans, right? There's the fan that's the true, I mean, fan of all fans. They have all the gear. They know the team. They know all the players. And you got the fans that are kind of clueless fans that are there. Maybe bought a shirt the day of the game to go to the game. They don't know what the score is. You got the Uncle Rico fans where if they would have just put me in the fourth quarter, I'd be playing on Sundays. We'd be winning. You got those kind of fans. You got the coach fan, the guy that knows everything in the stands, right? I'm a coach at times for my son and my daughters, and it's amazing what they know up there. It's amazing. Isaiah, you've been there, you know. It's amazing what all those fans know about coaching and stuff. And sometimes you don't know what's going on your team. Sometimes you weren't in practice every day that week. You didn't know what was going on that week, what kind of effort that kid was giving you that week. And so, sometimes we're made to be fans. We're made to be followers of something. We're made that way. God made us that way. We're designed for devotion. And it's so stunning that we love to cheer for stuff. Can you imagine if an alien came to this planet and they observed us at a football game? They would go back and report, said, it's the weirdest thing. They got these two teams in different colors. They're chasing an oblong ball up and down the field. A pigskin ball laced up with air in it. The fans, you know, are cheering on each other. They, all these big guys chasing each other on a green carpet. Can't figure out what's going on. What are they doing? They, did anybody teach you how to be a fan? Not really, huh? You just kind of become a fan. You kind of absorb it and take it in. We're not taught to be fans. We're taught to be followers of and be in devotion with things. Now, the Bible would call this worship. You know, I'll talk about that in a little while. We're made to worship. And I think as you look at the life of Jesus, it's interesting to see how many times people told Jesus, or interesting how many times people told Jesus to follow him throughout the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Chronicles of Jesus' life, he says, follow me. He said, follow me. Follow me. Several times he said that throughout the Bible. Jesus said, follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to do that? Well, it means to enthusiastically devote yourself to someone or something. And when Jesus asked people to follow him, that's what he was asking and challenging people to do. Who knows if Jesus could walk up on this platform right now, I'm not sure what he would say, but he might say something like, hey, why don't you follow me? Why don't you become a fan of me? Why don't you become devoted to me and follow the things that I teach you? Become a fan. We understand what a fan is, right? Sometimes we don't always understand what it means to follow Christ. We have followers on social media, right? I got probably 5-10 followers. I mean, I'm going to be an influencer someday. That's what I told my wife the other day. I'm going to be an influencer on, what is it, Instagram, TikTok. I'm going to start making some TikTok videos. Yep. She said, what are you going to influence? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to influence something. They get paid for that. Some people get paid for that. That's crazy, isn't it? I'm going to promote this Bible right here, and maybe that's what I'll influence people on. We need to become a full-on fan for Christ. I've been thinking about this and turning it over in my mind, what it means to be a man, or a fan, and a man. Have you ever thought about that, what it means to be a fan? If this is your first time here, we talk about this a fair amount about, you know, following Christ, becoming a believer, doing the things God's told you to do, doing them faithfully, coming faithfully, doing your jobs in the church, whether it be, you know, ushering or cleaning or women's ministry. Do those things faithfully. Don't just, can we count on you? I don't know. You know, we talked about the different kinds of fans, and it boils down to really two types of fans. There's really the one that's the all-in, full-on, fanatical fan. And then there's the one that's the other group. It's the bandwagon fan or the not-so, or the fair-weather fan. We have a lot of fair-weather fans. You just look at Fort Hays football. I mean, I love Fort Hays. I went to school there. I'm a fan. I go to most of their games. But it's funny how the stands dwindle if we're not doing as well, if we don't have quite as good a season. It's the same probably with any sport. That, you know, are you a fan or are you just a fair weather fan? A lot of people are fair weather fans, and that translates over into the things of God. We're just a fair weather fan at times. And I thought to myself, you know, who is a full-on, I mean, fanatical fan? Well, I work with this guy. He's a huge Chiefs fan. His name's Josh. He is no bandwagoner for sure. He's been with the Chiefs, the thick and the thin. Trenton's like this, thick and thin. He's a full-on fanatical fan. He loves the Chiefs. You know, he loves football. He loves the Chiefs. So I was thinking some character qualities of what he has and how they really relate to the field of faith. Because I told you earlier, we were made to cheer. We're made to get behind something. We're made for devotion. You know, God gives us the opportunity. He says you can either worship the Creator or the creation. And sometimes we get those two mixed up. We worship the creation of things and not the, we worship His creation and not the Creator of things. There are a lot of people that worship animals. animals aren't God. You know, I love animals. I got dogs. I got three dogs. I got this dog. I don't know what to make of him. He's almost a year old now. Brittany, he's my hunting dog. And I think he really thinks he's a person. Cassidy has corrupted him because she was home with him when he was a puppy. And he's the nicest, calmest dog I've had. And this is a hunting dog, mind you. They're mostly high strung. And so I took him hunting yesterday. And he decides to go find something on his own. He was off. I lost him. I don't know, Brian. I don't know. It was probably a half hour. We lost him by the time I found him. And I'm whistling, and I've got this collar that kind of reminds him of who's in charge. Well, I forgot to turn the collar on. That was my fault. He did better in the next field because I had the collar on. But we see him. We're clear across this field, probably half mile, three quarters of a mile away from the pickup. And we see him running by the pickup. And we're like, Brian goes, there he goes. And I said, okay. So I start heading that way, and I'm whistling and can't find him. All of a sudden, he just comes walking up. Just, hey, what's up? He was not such a fan. I was not such a fan of him after that. But sometimes we put animals over God. Sometimes we worship the creation, animals, plants, environment, things. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we should treat the environment correct. I think we should take care of what God gave us. I think we should be good stewards of it. But let's not get it mixed up with the Creator. Let's not get it mixed up with the Creator. You know, some people worship their bodies, much like me. They misplace their worship. They bodybuild, they do all kinds of, which is great. I mean, I think you should be healthy. I think you should eat right. I think you should do that. But to the extreme, we tend to take things to extreme. You can even take some things in the Bible to the extreme. And God wants you to just worship Him, the Creator. And He wants you to be addicted to worshiping Christ, not addicted to doing something different or worshiping the creation. We worship money in our culture, right? You always hear this, money is the root of all evil. No, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. The love of money. Now, I love money. I like having money in my pocket. I like having be able to pay my bills. I like being able to buy stuff for my family. I like being able to do that. It's a lot better than not. You know, it's a lot better than not having that. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be a blessing to others with the benefits of following Christ. But don't get caught up in worshiping things and having things and pursuing the almighty dollar over pursuing the almighty. We sometimes get misplaced sometimes. It's the wrong object. It's the wrong person. But the bottom line is we're going to be a fan. Now, do we have any Cowboy fans in here? Oh, see, they're always proud. Cowboy fans are proud. When I asked some of them if they were like KU fans, they're like, K-State fans? Yeah, Cowboy fans. I like it. He's on it, man. He loves it. You know, what about the Oklahoma Sooners? Oh, man, all right. We got a few in here. All right. We all love to identify with something. How about those Texas Longhorns? Huh? No, I got to point the horns down. Sometimes I get a kick out of the mascots of these teams. You know, we got some in Kansas that are kind of interesting. The Palco Roosters. Hill City Ringnecks. That's good. I mean, hey, I like it. It's about your area. How about the Coastal Carolinas? Anybody know what those are? Don't, Brian, be quiet. The what? You're close. Chanticleers. Yeah. What's a Chanticleer? It's a rooster. It's a chicken. They're the Coastal Carolina Chickens. Chanticleer sounds better than chickens, doesn't it? I love that name. I just love saying it. What do you got? SEC, no, no. No, we ain't even talking about Georgia or... See? I got him all riled up. We're not talking about that. One thing, this is the first thing of what I notice about Josh and the fans that are, they're super passionate. They're super passionate about the things that they yell about on TV. I'm a Broncos fan, and I used to be a little more tied into it years ago. Shana could say, and I still do yell at the TV once in a while, especially when they make dumb plays. I mean, because I could do much better. They're super passionate. I used to let that game affect me the rest of the day if the Broncos lost. Some people still do that. One time I saw them after a game and they're hugging and congratulating the other team and it didn't look like it bothered them. And I'm like, why is it affecting me the rest of the day? Because I was super passionate. We need to be super passionate about the things of God. We need to be super passionate about, you know, the things that God has pointed out in his book. We need to be passionate about those things that he's, you know, educating us on. And are you a bandwagon or are you full on faith with the things of God? Are you full on with the things of God? The other thing that real fans are, they're well educated. They're well educated about their team. Now, you know the schedule, you know the coaches, you know what's being said on the blogs, you know the websites to turn to. You're looking at being a well-informed fan. How about you be a well-informed Christian? How about we learn what this book says? How about we become well-educated in this book? Do I know everything about that book? No. Do I know a lot more than when I first started? Yes. I don't know. It was probably, when did Tim and I think Richard was in there, we did a correspondence course, and it was over 2 years. It was probably when Madison was, he was little, 5, 6 years old. I kind of remember her going to soccer practice for some reason, and she didn't play soccer, so. I did that because I wanted to learn more about Christ. I wanted to spend time with him, and it was 2 hours every two and a half hours every Sunday for 2 years we did this. Tim was in there. I was in there. Richard was in there. I can't remember if any. Belinda, were you in there? Yeah, Belinda was in there. And there were several of us in there. And I learned a lot. And we were taught of the things of God. And it was great. I became better educated on the things of God. I'm not saying you have to spend 2 years for 2 hours, but you need to. It's so readily accessible now. I remember when I first started coming to church and things, we had to have things on cassette tapes. Yes, cassette tapes. I was driving back and forth to work about an hour each way, and it was a good time. I'd plug in things to listen to on my cassette tape. Denise used to carry a cassette tape with her when she worked for the state. I mean, it was one way to do it. Now it's all, you can get this right here. I mean, it is out there. YouTube got tons of stuff. There's all kinds of teachings you can find. Make sure you get the right teachings. Make sure you line up with the Word of God, because there's some crazy stuff out there too. That's why you got to be educated a little bit to discern what's out there. You got to be well educated as a fan of Christ. Here's the other thing. You got to be crazy loyal as a fan. I've been a Broncos fan since I was a kid. My family's all from Bronco. They're from Colorado. And I was influenced as a young boy about being a Broncos fan. So I've been a Broncos fan forever. And you got to be loyal to them. You know, it's like being a Royals fan. Usually by the first month of the season, we're out of it. But I'm still a Royals fan. We had a pretty good run a few years ago, you know. You know, so only 30 years apart in World Series wins. But you have to be loyal. You have to be crazy loyal to something, just like you need to be crazy loyal to Christ. There's a documentary on Serena Williams that said, you know, Serena Williams, incredible tennis player, probably the best ever as a female tennis player. Serena was talking about motherhood, and her coaches were kind of getting, you know, telling her that says, you can't fit tennis into your family. You have to fit family into your tennis. And, as a fan, what do we do? here at church sometimes. We have service 52 weeks a year. Do you fit, do you build your life around church, or do you build church around your life? And sometimes we got to make that a priority. Are we here every Sunday of the whole year? We're not. We miss here and there. I'm just saying, what's your priority in life? What's your loyalty to in life? Where are you at? Is, if all the stars align and I really feel okay when I get up on Sunday, that we're going to church? Or is it at my house, if we're here, we're going to church? It's not even a question. My kids have never asked that. It's never a question. Dad, are we going to church today? You know the answer. You know the answer. They didn't even ask. Once they got old enough, Brian doesn't even ask. I just tell him, Brian, get ready for church. Looks how he gets ready for church. He's dressed up today. He got the shorts without the holes in them on today. Hey, but he's here. He's here. He's here, and he helps in children's church. He does something here. My daughters, they sing up here with their mom. They didn't get their singing ability from me, but they're loyal to it. They're loyal to it. They're, you know, I remember in high school when Castor Madison and were in high school, and they'd have a dance or something, and they were like, I don't want to go to church the next day. I'm tired. Sorry. You got to be committed to it. You chose to do this, so you're going to do it. It ain't always easy, is it? I didn't want to come here this morning and see all you people. I did too. When you're loyal, if you're loyal to a church, you figure out how to get here most of the time. You figure out how to get here. You'd recommend your church. Do you recommend this church? Do you promote this church? Do you defend this church? People jump. You don't see people jumping from being Cowboys fans to Eagles fans. You don't see people jumping from being Oklahoma Sooners fans to being University of Texas fans. That doesn't happen, does it? The biggest frustration church leaders deal with sometimes is jumping from church to church to church. Just be committed. Go where God tells you to go and stay there. It's pretty easy. I started coming here in, I don't know, probably 1988, 89, a couple years ago. I was a senior in high school. I was dating this hot chick. That's how I ended up here. It was God. I know it was. You know, but once I got here, it felt like home. It did. Once I got here, I felt like I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here. And I got plugged in with stuff. And I became loyal, a loyal fan, a loyal follower, a devoted follower of this church. I've been here long enough to, you know, I've been in every nook and cranny of this building. We've painted these walls multiple times. I remember when we built that wall back there. I remember when we built Children's Church. I remember when we knocked down the wall between the rooms for the youth group, 2-inch-foot thick wall. Some of you may not know, this is a rammed earth facility. Not this part of the building. This is metal. But the other part is the walls are 2 foot thick. Yeah, so there's concrete footer. Then they use forms to put up, to tamp in clay. Then they put a concrete footer on top. That's how this church was built. I wasn't here for that, thank God. I've roofed this roof a couple times. So I'm loyal, man. I'm going to be here. And if I'm not here, you'll know that God has taken me home because I'm planning on being here. I'm planning on being in this church unless God wants me to do something else. I'm going to stay here till I've been told to do something else. So the next thing to be a full-on fan is to be very relational. When it comes to being a fan of, you know, whatever team, the Chiefs, when you talk to Chiefs fans, you're very relational. Hey, what do you think about Mahomes' play lately? And what do you think about our defense? And, you know, why are we playing this? You're relational. You relate to each other. You see it like the other day I was talking to a class at Fort Hays, and this kid come walking in. I don't know the kid from Adam, but he had a a Broncos shirt on. I said, hey, nice shirt. I was relational, right? I can tell that guy's a good guy. He's got a Broncos shirt on, right? He could be the worst guy in the world, but got a Broncos shirt on. He's good. See a Chiefs tag in front of you. You wave at him. Hey, how you doing? Chiefs fan. See a Broncos fan. Hey, those guys are good. You know, you know when the game is. You know when they play. You go, you're relational. You relate to people. Just like we should with Christ. We should be relational with Christ. With people of Christ. We should be relational outside these doors to people. In here, it's easy. In here, it's easy. We come, we all, a lot of familiar faces in here. I mean, I know pretty much everybody. I've seen pretty much everybody before. We need to be relational out there. We need to promote. We need to be relational to our church. Here's another thing that you are if you're a full-on fan. You're highly invested. You know, when you go to a Chiefs game, I don't know what the ticket costs. I think I looked it up, Trenton. Do you know? Average ticket, $110 at a Chiefs game. That's one game. Then you got to pay for parking. You're highly invested in going to the Chiefs game. And I don't know why. Or a Georgia fan. Or what is that? Yeah, that's your team, right? Georgia? The Bulldogs? They're okay this year. They're good. They're good. So you got $110 average ticket price. Unless you buy some really, really good seats, you're probably $200-$300 per seat. Parking, another $100. And you got to buy some snacks, you know. I think a pop's like $8 or something like that. And yeah, they're big drinks, but $8. You know, if you had to pay for these seats at the Chiefs game, Shana, you owe me some money. That's a good seat. It's a good seat. You're right in the front row. Get the full view. It's like $500. $500. I had this guy one time I visited with, and his team was in the Super Bowl. They'd never been in the Super Bowl before. He just had to go. He had to go. He had to go. $10,000 is what he ran up on some bills. $10,000 is what he spent to fly there, stay there, go to the game. Cause it's his team, man. He was highly invested. But yet, sometimes we don't do that with God. We're not highly invested with God. We don't share God. We don't share, those things that God, here $20. Here $20, God. Are you a full on fan or not? Do you tithe? Do you do the things God's tell you to? That's touch subject. I know. Touch subject. I can look at your finances and see what you're highly invested in. You can look at my finances and you can see what I'm highly invested in. You can see what I'm devoted to by looking at my checkbook. No doubt. No doubt you can see it. What are you invested in? I've never heard people say, you know, Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboy Stadium, they don't walk into the Cowboy Stadium and say, man, this place is too big. Too big. It's terrible. Can't believe they spent this much money on this. But yeah, we hear that in the church world, right? Oh, that church is too big. That sound system, too loud. They don't say that at the Cowboy Stadium. That screen is too big. Too big. We've heard it, man. We've heard it here. These chairs are too nice. Why did we spend money on these chairs? You don't spend, what do you pay for a chair at Cowboy Stadium? It's not cheap. Then if you go to playoffs and things like that, it gets more expensive. You have to be willing to invest highly to be a fan. God asks you to invest in God highly. He's not telling you to give every dime. He's telling you to give what he's told you to give. That's between you and God. He lays it out before you. He said, you know, follow me. That means more than just saying, okay, God. That means you're invested. You're doing things for God. That means you're stepping out. You don't ever say, man, that contract, $75 million, that's too much. Actually, I do. For what my wife puts up as a teacher, what some of the other teachers put up with, what they get paid compared to what these other guys get paid, I think we got it backwards maybe. I don't know. That's just free. That's free advice right there. Free advice. Yeah. That's spoken by a true teacher. We got other educators over here. We know what's going on. Yeah. We focus sometimes on the ring. We get things screwed up, right? You need to be highly invested as being a full on fan. Here's another thing. You need to be as a full on fan. You need to be extremely generational. Extremely generational. We talked about this a minute ago. So we got three generations sitting right here. We got Denise, who's Shayna's mom. Shayna's here because of Denise. My kids are here because of me and my wife. That's generational, right? This church is a generational church. It wasn't an option for where my kids were going to go to church. It was generational. We were going to bring them here. It's just like kind of like a coach. A coach on a team, he sets out a game plan, he calls the plays, you follow those plays, you get to where you're going. Sometimes in games it doesn't work out right, but you know, I didn't do anything magical, but I brought my kids to work or to work to school. What is this place called again? Is this a stadium or where are we at? I brought my kids to church. I didn't do anything special. I just made sure they were here. I didn't let them decide whether they were going or where they were going. I was in charge. Shayna and I were in charge. We made that choice as a parent. They live under my roof. I pay their bills and I remind them of that all the time. Just last night, I had to talk to Brian about phones. Saying, Brian, let me see that phone. Okay. He gives it to me. Lets me look at it. I said, remember, it's your phone, but I pay for it. And if there's something on there that I don't like, you don't get it. You know, Cassidy, she still lives at my house too. She eats all my food. She goes to college. She works hard. She does those things. But she's expected to do a few things around the house, right? For being part of the family. She's expected to do a few things. Brian's expected to do a few things. Do they want to do it all the time? No. That's why I'm there. It's generational in our house. I affect my kids. They're going to affect their kids. They're going to affect their kids. And that's how it's going to work. But it can also be the other way around. You can affect your kids a negative way. You can affect your kids to do other things. What they see from you at home is what they're going to emulate. They're watching you. They're watching. They're seeing how you treat people. They're seeing how you talk to people. They're seeing that. You can change too. You can do better. Absolutely. But they see those things. You need to be generational with church, with the things of God. You know, you need to be things. I mean, you look at the Oakley family. You know, it started Pastor Wes. And then it goes to his kids. And now it's to their kids. And now my kids have to develop their own relationship somewhere along the way, right? They have to develop. I got to give them those opportunities to develop the relationships. The relationships, the right relationships. But I got to give them those opportunities. But they have to have their own faith eventually. When they're old enough to start making those decisions, they have to be able to make those choices. But as a parent, I'm going to put them in the right place and I'm going to have them there at the right time and I'm going to give them those opportunities. Cause it does. Are they going to be perfect at it? No, I'm not perfect at it. Are you perfect at it? No. It's one of those things you keep working at. You keep doing. You keep getting better. You keep thinking about it. You keep trying harder. You keep doing the things of God, and it will pay off. Some people have asked me one time, why are your kids good kids? What did you do so great? I don't know. I brought them to church. That's one good thing I did. I brought them to church, and I beat them. Beat them. That's the other thing. I beat them. No, that's terrible to say. There was discipline. There was discipline. There was consequences for their actions. Good or bad, there were consequences for their action. They, you know, they're rewarded. They're pretty blessed kids. They're rewarded. They're treated pretty well. And if they do the wrong thing, they have to pay the consequences for that. I can't, Brian's getting big enough now. I'm going to have, Isaiah, you're going to have to help me or something. Like, he's getting strong enough now. He's taller than Cass now, close to Madison. Yeah, he's getting big. I hope he gets really big and he can play for the Broncos. What'd you say? They will be when he's there. You got to be generational. It's faith, that's right. You got to be generational. The other thing you got to be is you got to be promotional. You know, you can't just go by without, you need to be able to promote the things of Christ. You promote your team, right? You wear their shirts, you wear their gear. You know, I think I've got, over the years, I've probably got 100 different shirts of teams they've played on because I'm promotional. Right? That's a big billboard here. I'm going to promote them. They should pay me to wear the shirt, right? I got a blanket that Shayna had made with all the different shirts on it that I've either coached or promoted for the kids. I've got the rainbow unicorns. I don't know. I mean, I've got, kicking chicks. What are some other ones, girls? Do you remember? Sweet peas. I'm promotional. Are you promotional about the things of Christ? Are you promoting the things of God? Do you talk about the things of God with your friends, with your family? Are you promotional? Do you advertise it? Do you talk about what it means to be a Christian? You know, it doesn't have to be like a whole serious conversation about Christ. Just live it out in front of people. There's a lot of things. St. Francis of Assisi said, go out and preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. You know, it's by the way you live, by the way you treat people, by the way you act. The key is be promotional about the things of God. We got a lot of empty seats here. We got room for people. We need to promote it. We need to bring people here. Be relational to them. Be a super fan of Christ, of this church, of those things. Be generational. Promote those things. See, in the Jesus said, there's basically two groups of people: the wheat and the tares, the believers and the non-believers, the fruitful and the fruitless. Those that are on the narrow way and those that are on the broad way. Those that are full-on fans and those that are fair-weather fans. Jesus doesn't do fair-weather. He just doesn't do bandwagoning. He's not that type of God. He's not that type of person. In John 6, verses 6 through 66, here's the context. Jesus just performed a miracle. He just fed 5,000 people with a boy's lunch. You know, they had protein, fish, and chips. He fed 5,000 people, right? He began to teach and talk and things. And then people thought, man, I love this Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do those things. Yeah, he's going to take control, and the Jews will dominate. They were thinking that, and Jesus kind of cruised over the body of water, and they discovered he was over there, and they followed him over there. And people were just trying to get a glimpse of him. Have you ever been to a concert, and you're so far away, you just want to get a good glimpse of him, or you want to get a good seat so you get a glimpse of him? That's the way people were with Jesus. They wanted to get a glimpse of him. He draws a line in the sand. He says, you know, he's going to draw a line in the sand. Listen to the words in John 6:60. It says, on hearing it, many disciples, many disciples, they were full-on followers, and he said, hearing it, many said, I've got it blocked out here, this is a hard teaching, who can accept? In verse 61, Jesus, hacking into what's happening, aware what his disciples were grumbling about, this Jesus said to them, does this offend you? See, what we don't understand is that the message of Christ can be offensive. It can be tough. It can be challenging. The message of Jesus draws the line in the sand, the lines of love, the lines of grace, but the lines of truth. And you can skip down to verse 66. It says, from this time, many, not a few, not just a couple people, from this time, many disciples turned their back and no longer followed him. Many disciples turned their back and followed him. They didn't follow him. They were no longer fans. They were really just fair weather fans. when things got tough, when he challenged them, and when things challenge you in life, are you a fair weather fan to Christ? When you're challenged from the pulpit from Pastor Wes or whoever's giving the message, do you turn your back and leave? Or do you become a full-on follower of Christ? See, Jesus wants to separate that. He doesn't want lukewarm. He wants hot. He wants hot for him. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We got lots of people that claim to be Christians, but their actions don't really line up with it. I used to have a football coach that used, you know, this term all the time, and it drove me nuts at the time, but now I love it. He said, "Don't tell me, show me." You know, and I think that's what Christ is saying is, don't tell me you're a Christian, show me you're a Christian. Your actions speak way louder than your words. Way louder. That's what I'll tell my football team sometimes. Like, "Coach, I can get that block, I can do that." "Don't tell me, show me." "Don't tell me you can do something, show me you can do something." "Don't tell me you're going to be here, show me you're going to be here." "Don't tell me you're going to be a giver, show me you're going to be a giver." "Don't tell me you're going to be promotional, show me you're going to be promotional." It's as easy as that. Jesus was separating the full-on fan from the fair-weather fan. Which one are you? Which one are you? Think about the qualities I've mentioned. They mirror the life of Jesus. Jesus was passionate. He was very passionate about you and me. Are you kidding? He gave his life for you and me. He was so passionate. He was educational. Jesus knows you and me better than we know ourselves. He knows you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows. He's very educational. He's loyal. He's for you. He's not against you. He's for me. He's not against me. The Holy Spirit is encouraging you to acquiesce to your life to him. He is loyal to you. Relational. That's Christianity. Not a religion. Not a religion. Christianity. It's relational. It's about relationships with each other. It's about relationships with Christ. It's relational. It's not about a religion. I've heard that so many times from here. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Christ. He is so relational with you guys. That's what we're about. How invested is Jesus? Jesus is totally invested in your salvation. He gave his life for you. He died for you. He's invested. He invested a lot for you and I. The salvation, in financial terms, can you imagine what you'd have to calculate to figure out what that means in financial terms? It's unbelievable how invested he is in you. He's generational. Jesus is always thinking about the next generation. He's always thinking about parents and single parents and their kids and their kids and their kids. He's thinking about the next generation. He's cheering on those to help coach their next generation to go to the right direction. He's cheering on those to make the right decisions so that their kids become a generational Christian. Year after year, generation after generation. He's always thinking about the next generation. Why are there so many genealogies in the Bible? Maybe because that's why he wants to make it a generational thing. The next generation. Jesus is promotional. He's promoting you and me right now to the Father. That's what he's doing. He promotes you to me, the Bible says. He wants the best for our lives. Again, are you a full-on Christian? Are you a fanatical follower of Christ? Or are you just, you know, just a lukewarm Christian, a fair-weather Christian? I grew up in a fair-weather household, and meaning that we didn't go to church as a family unless everything was good in our lives. Well, it wasn't good all very often in our lives, so we didn't go to church that often. But we get that wrong a lot. You come to church to get better. You don't come to church to show you're better. You come to church to get better. Come right where you're at. Come right where you're from. Just come. Just come here. Be promotional about it. Be relational about it. Be generational about it. Be fanatical, extreme about it. It's one of those things that, you know, we go to sports a lot. A lot of you do. I mean, you're at sports, you're cheering on your kids, you're there a lot. And people do things at sporting events they would never do anywhere else. They would never do anywhere else. They raise their hands, they jump up and down. I was watching, we went to the Hayes High game Friday night in Mays, and I saw one of the greatest runs I've ever seen in my life. He's a high school kid, by the way. He made Sports Center. I mean, he was number two on top 10 in Sports Center. A kid from Hayes High. I mean, he reminds me a lot of myself back that day. I mean, fast, big. No, not really. He's once in a generation type player. I mean, but when he made that run, Cass and I were like, whoa! every hit, we were like, whoa! 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 Oh my word, did you see that? Oh yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. We need to get a little excited about that, about the things of Christ. We need to get a little excited about the things of God. Sometimes we come here and we're just here. We're just here. Up here singing and let's get through it. Check the box. I've been to church. I made it to church this week. Check the box. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's more than just being here. It's more than just taking up space. It's more than just checking a box. God knows the intent of your heart. He knows why you're supposed to be here. He knows what you need to get out of this. And in some cases, I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here, right? You're here on a Sunday morning. But I want you to think about being that type of fan for Christ as you go throughout your week, as you go throughout your life in the next few weeks. Think about being a promotional Christian. Don't be weird. Don't be goofy. Just let people know your heart. Just speak from the heart about Christ. Don't be odd. Just be normal. God is normal. He wants to draw people in. Love them. How do people know we're different? By the love we show for one another. Don't be critical. You know? Be the hands and feet of Christ that he's called you to be. And, you know, we can bring out extra chairs if we have to. We can bring out extra chairs if we have to. We can go to two services if we have to. I hope we do. I always want this place filled up because I think it's a good message. I think what we teach here is good, is Bible-based, is good stuff, it's faith-based, good stuff. You should like it too. Follow God like a fanatical fan, like those crazy Chiefs fans are. You know, I got to get this out. My daughter was a Broncos fan, and then she meets this guy. And they get married, and all of a sudden she's wearing a Chiefs jersey. Oh, stabbing the heart. Actually, I don't care. He's a good guy, and he treats her well, and he lets her be in charge. Or lets her think she's in charge. How's that? There you go. That's better, right, Trenton? Let's stand to our feet. Lord, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your word. We just thank you for your example that you've lived in front of us, that Jesus has lived out in front of us. Thank you for letting us go forward and follow these things like and be a full-on fan for you, Christ, and not just be lukewarm and not just be a fair-weather fan. Lord, we just thank you that we can learn more about the word of Christ. We can learn more about things of Christ through your word that guides us and gives us direction each and every day. Lord, we just want to promote you in all that we do. We just want to give you glory in all situations. Lord, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.